Hello and welcome to our program. We're looking at two different types of promoters of apostasy. Apostasy is what we're faced with. Those that promote it are called apostates. We'll look at these two different apostates as we continue in this program. Have your Bible ready if you can. A simple study of the book of Jude will show us that he presents to us some unsaved promoters of apostasy. In other words, we're talking about unsaved apostates. If we get into the book of 1 and 2 Peter, Peter talks about some saved, born-again promoters of apostasy. They are Christian apostates. That's a hard subject to talk about, but it's one of those truths that is not a pleasant truth. We're going to be looking at it. But first of all, listen to this message and song. Make it your prayer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy
today in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, where Peter warned of Christians who would be promoting apostasy. It says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, there's five things that he focuses on here in this portion of Scripture. Number one, he said there were false teachers among the people. Now, that word among, according to the dictionary, means in the company of. Seven times in the book of Acts, the word company is used in context with the local church. We find that twice in 1 Corinthians and once in 2 Corinthians. There were false prophets among the people. He goes on to say, secondly, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, the word even here is because it is surprisingly unexpected. We would not expect that there would be false teachers among us. But he said there will be, and there is today. The third thing says, they will privily or secretly bring in damnable heresies. Now, a damnable heresy, according to the dictionary, is a heresy worthy of divine condemnation. What has happened in recent days by those who have come in among us in our fundamental independent Baptist churches, in case you're wondering who I'm referring to, they have come in among us and have changed the plan of salvation. It is being promoted now in most of our fundamental churches, so-called, that you don't need to repent. Just pray a prayer. All you need to do is believe and pray. It was Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson of the Sword of the Lord, two solid so-called fundamentalists, who first began to promote this, what the Bible calls a damnable heresy among us. Now, it's called a damnable heresy because if we believe it, we will be damned to hell forever. That's pretty serious. And so we're looking here at those who would come in among us and bring in this damnable heresy. The fourth thing we see in this portion of Scripture is that they would even be denying the Lord that bought them. Now, the word even is again used here because it's something that is surprisingly unexpected. And it says they will be denying the Lord. That word has been translated refused, Acts chapter 7 and verse number 35, and it's referring to Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" The word bought has been translated redeemed three times. Let's read it that way. Who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that redeemed them. We're talking about Christians presenting a damnable heresy in these last days. The fifth thing that we see here, they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now that word destruction has been translated waste in Matthew 26 and verse 8 and Mark 14 and verse number 4. They shall bring upon themselves swift waste. A church will be turned into something that is just a waste if we're going to present a damnable heresy. Verse number 2, Peter warned, and many, many shall follow their pernicious ways. The word pernicious has also been translated destruction. In fact, it is translated destruction in verse number 1, where it says, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so we see here that Peter wrote of those who would be denying the Lord that bought them. Those are Christians. Jude, on the other hand, wrote about those that would be denying the Lord, but he wrote about unsaved people. He said in verse number 4, they're ungodly, and they were denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he makes a difference between them and us, our Lord. These were ungodly men. And if you study that little book of Jude, it's only one chapter, you'll see a very plain teaching on the subject of apostasy in these last days. And so in these last days, many people have talked about the fact of how many people are really saved and how many aren't. Of course, we can't say for sure. Dr. B.R. Lakin estimated years ago that 75% of the church members were unsaved. Dr. W.A. Criswell also estimated that 75% of his church members were unsaved. Well, my question is, why were they members then? Why didn't he deal with it? Billy Graham estimates that 85% of his responders in crusades are not saved. And A.W. Tozer years ago estimated that 90% of church members were unsaved. Now, A.W. Tozer said this, and I quote, "If the Holy Spirit were taken away from the New Testament church, 90% of what they did would have to come to a halt. But if the Holy Spirit were taken away from today's church, only 10% of what it does would cease." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And in verse 23, we read, he said, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus said, many will say this. Many he will say to, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Many means a large number. In fact, the dictionary says it means the majority. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, at the end of the age, in religious situations and in our local churches, there would be much deception. I challenge you to read Matthew 24 and see that. The first thing he says is, many shall come and deceive many. Years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, Satan is such a master of deception that he can make people dance upon the brink of hell as though they were on the brink of heaven. And that is what is happening today. Many people who have simply prayed a little prayer and come up with a false profession of salvation are in our churches today actually thinking they're saved because of this damnable heresy that is being presented, that it's not necessary to repent in order to be saved. And that is the reason why when Jude wrote in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, because most commentaries will tell you that Jude changed his mind of what he was going to write about. Well, there's no but after the word salvation. He did not say, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to contend for the faith." What he was saying was, there's a problem. This common salvation is coming in, and we need to talk to you about earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This word common, in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Greek word is koinos, K-O-I-N-O-S. It was used by Jews concerning something that was unhallowed, profane, or unclean, and it is used that way in the New Testament. Mark chapter 7, verse number 2, it is translated defiled. In Romans 14, verse number 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 29, it is translated an unholy thing. So let's read that verse that way. "Brethren," he said, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Why? Because of this common, because of this defiled, unclean, unholy form of salvation that has crept in. Paul the Apostle had the same problem. He talked about it in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, where he said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel." Well, for 2,000 years, we had what the Bible calls in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, so great a salvation. But now as we get to the end of the age, we are warned ahead of time, this is Bible prophecy, that even those who are Christians will be promoting this damnable heresy. And so after 2,000 years of presenting the great salvation mentioned in Hebrews 2, verse number 3, we come into this age of apostasy where apostates are promoting this common salvation, this defiled, unholy, unclean plan of salvation that we are being presented with today. Well, as we began this program today, we said we need to let the Lord have his own way. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay." Listen to this message and song, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." If we would let God have his way, if we would let him guide us into all truth, then we'll do what the Bible says to do. Make it your prayer today.
"Guide me, O the great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Pour me with thy powerful hand. waters of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I